Matthew, we use Matthew as a key. There's a lot of different titles I could have gave this lesson today, this message. I wrote above it, does it pay to pray? Sometimes we wonder, does it pay to pray? Elroy brought up an interesting point. Sometimes we look around and it seems like the wicked prosper. You know, one of the minor prophets saw the same thing. I don't think it was just one of the minor prophets. I think there were many godly fear people that sometimes see the same thing. Why did the wicked prosper, we might ask? But God says, vengeance is mine and I will repay. Every idle word that men will speak, they will give an account of the day of judgment. So God's keeping track. You don't have to. God's keeping track. That's all that matters. They'll get their just reward. Jesus said to the Pharisees, they're enjoying their reward. Behold, he said, they have their reward. They have it. What was their reward? A pat on the shoulder. Oh, you just think you're just doing a wonderful, good job. You know, they were able to have the chief seats in the synagogues. They had the chief seats wherever they would go. The Lord said, behold, they're enjoying their reward. It's the only one they're going to have. Might as well enjoy it because that's all you're getting. As soon as you draw your last breath, your rewards are done. So behold, he said, you already have your reward. Enjoy it. That's all you're getting. Let's pray, Father in heaven, help me to share this in a simple and clear way, that your people will be able to get as much as it can. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord told many times his servants that they were to feed the flock. What did he tell Peter? How many times did he tell Peter? Do you remember the words he used? Peter, feed my sheep. He did it three times. You know why, don't you? Well, I wanted to remind Peter he had denied him three times. Peter, feed my sheep. Roger, feed my sheep. Wayne, feed my sheep. Ministry, preaching, it's very similar to eating physical food. Similar, except you're getting spiritual food. Some of you look like you're not eating that much. Not been eating too well. Like in the real life, you need a balanced diet. And I think in preaching and ministering God's word, you need a balanced diet. Same thing. I like as much as possible is to give you a balanced diet. Now some people, no matter how much you want to try to give, they still insist on lettuce. Lettuce, lettuce, lettuce. When you go to a smorgasbord, you know we have all the food. How would you like to just see lettuce? How would you think if you showed up and you know sometimes like I do, I just walk by and just see what they got first before I order. And I walk to see the smorgasbord. Now, if I walked there and everything I saw was lettuce, you know what I'd be saying. Come on, let's go. We're going to find some other place because I am not real great in lettuce. So, it's important to have a balanced diet. Not only in the physical realm of food and vegetables, but in the spiritual realm, we should be well balanced. And that's my desire as your pastor, to be as balanced as I can for you, to give you balanced meals. I never really thought about prayer as a gift. But you know, everything that comes from God is a gift. Everything that comes from Him is a gift. He wouldn't need to do anything for us. He does it because He loves us. I've really never thought of prayer as being a gift, but wow, it really is a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's powerful. And it's a practical gift. You know, when we say it's practical, it's something we can use. Sometimes you get things that's really not practical. It's not really useful. You might even re-gift it. You know, re-gift it. Somebody gave it to you, and you don't really need it, so you just give it to somebody else that you know might need it. All right? But this gift of prayer is a gift we can all use. We can all use it. Linda mentioned just briefly what she was involved with. There's a lot of Lindas in here. And that's why I believe this message is for you. We should approach the Lord with confidence. Instead, it's kind of like a hope-so kind of prayer life. You're asking for something, you say, I hope so. Are you saved? I hope so. Has somebody ever asked you, are you saved? I hope so. All shall I know in whom I believe. You know, that's what he said. He didn't say, I hope so. All shall I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Now, the key to that is committing unto him. We have a lot of people don't want to commit things to the Lord. They want to have it both ways. They want to have it, you know, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They want to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Make up your mind. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to do what? We're going to serve the Lord. Come what may, even if it's not popular, we're going to serve the Lord. Matthew 7, we read it. Jesus told us to ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened. And then he went on to assure us that how much the Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. Use the illustration of human fathers who give good gifts to their children. If they ask for bread, are they going to give them a stone? Of course not. And your Heavenly Father is the same way. Now this is why it's important that you be able to pray that you can trust that it's God's will. What would be a prayer that would be amiss? Sometimes you don't get it because you pray amiss. Let me give you an example. Well, Lord, if you let me win the lottery, you know it's right up there to $150 million this week. If you let me win that, you know I'd give a lot of it away to church and missions and help a lot of people. That's a mess. You listening to me? That's a mess. Don't even hesitate. I never bought a lottery ticket. Yeah. That's a mess. Reasons that we have to pray. I'm going to give you four of them. First, it honors God. Prayer honors God. This is what the prophet Isaiah 57:15 said. For this is what the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, says. I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Isaiah. When we humble ourselves in prayer before our Creator, ruler of heaven and earth, we honor him by acknowledging that he controls everything and he is the source for all of our needs. He's sovereign. When we use the word sovereign, that means he's in control. I can tell you that the present administration and the other administration that wants to get in is not in control. He's in control. And he puts in and takes out who belongs. So don't put your faith in those leaders. Put them in the leader. In the leader. Number two, prayer is a means of spiritual growth. When we read God's word and then we pray over what we just read, and then what we need to do is obey his word. And if we'll do that, he will enlighten our understanding so we can grow in the knowledge of him. And we'll be able to grow closer to him. The word would be intimacy. We'll have more intimacy with him. But prayerlessness 7 days, and you heard me say this, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Makes 1 week. Three, it's a way to participate in God's work. For a prayer that's offered with a pure heart and in accordance with His will, and His will is recorded in the Bible. That's why you should be reading the Bible, so you're familiar with God's will, because it's in there. It's there. That's why you should be reading it. Some perhaps might have read the whole Bible one time and they already have it memorized. I'm impressed. I really am impressed. I'm 71 and I've been studying the Bible for as long as I can read. I've been studying it and reading it. Love it. Some people read the Bible every year. I've tried to, but haven't succeeded. I can't really say I've read it every year. Wow. It's powerful. Read it. Oh, there's sticky places in there. Oh, like, you know, when you get into the, all those genealogical records. Then I just read through there and see which names are familiar and see what they did. See, just sometimes there might be only a few words about them and what they did. Now, they were good. They were great in God's sight. You know, just a few words about them. And then the other words I can't even pronounce. I just will bow them all over them. But I do try my best. Fourthly, it means that our needs are met. Prayer is a means by which our needs are met. God knows what we need before we even ask. I'm going to deal with that question. But when we request, it honors Him. We acknowledge that we are totally dependent upon Him to meet our needs. There's the key. Are you acknowledging that you're totally dependent upon Him? That's what's important. Now, we've had reasons to pray. I'd like to read some exhortations about prayer. Luke chapter 6, 28. Pray for those who are abusive to you. Luke 22, 40. Pray that you do not come into temptation. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance to the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of His power toward us who believe. And then Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Pray that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to proclaim it. And then James chapter 5, 14 and 15. Is there anyone among you that are sick? Call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And in the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So here's some promises of prayer. John 14, 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, let me make this clarification. It doesn't mean we can get everything that we want. It doesn't mean that we'll get everything we want. You've heard it said, God gives us our needs, not always our wants. Our needs will be supplied. There's a difference between greed and needs. He's concerned about your needs, not your greeds. And then we tack the name Jesus' name. You'd be surprised how many prayers in the New Testament end in Jesus' name. Why do you suppose that is? There is no other name given under heaven whereby you can be saved. There is no other name. It's interesting to me that in the halls of Congress just not too long ago, the minister that was invited to pray was informed that he would not dare use the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because the devil knows that name. The devil is familiar with that name. That's why they don't want it to be used. Now I should waken you up. There's power in that name. Even the demons understand that name. So wouldn't it be important that you should apply it to your prayers? And this I pray in Jesus' name. That's why we use that. It's by His authority, not yours. It's by His authority. Use His name. Pray in His name. It means by doing that that we place ourselves under His authority. And we ask our petitions in submission to His will. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, whatever you wish. Wow. And it'll be done. What's the key to that? Well, it says, if you remain in me and my words abide in you. That's the key right there. Right there. You know, sometimes people come to you and say, hey, would you pray about this? Because I really think your prayers get through. No. Come on. God hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. You can pray that. You pray that. He hears us. He hears us. But it's important that you abide in Him. Read His word daily. Pray daily. Abide in Him. If you're abiding in Him, it's much more easier to ask something. Now, you know, I get a kick out of people. Sometimes they don't even want to pray when they need something. That's the only time you want to pray. When I want something. I want something, God. I want this. Shame on you. Don't just do that just when you need something. But if you find that situation, don't stop asking. You have not because you ask not. But I want you to think about the word abide. Abide in Him. Abide in His word. It'll make a difference, you know. The promise is conditioned on abiding and having His words remain utmost in our lives. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. And now I'm going to be closing with two subjects. Answers to prayer. And then questions. Sometimes God doesn't always answer our requests immediately. There's a song we sing, in God's time, don't we, God? In God's time. Not your time. Remember, it's God's time. So when you pray, remember, it's God's time. We may not see the results of our prayers during our lifetime. I just said the other day to my wife that I wish Shirley would have lived long enough to see the answer to her prayers. Because I knew who she was praying for. And she turned her life around, and I wish that she would have been here to see it. But I praise the Lord that she did change her life, and she's living for Jesus now. She was raised that way. Surely would have been very happy. But I can tell you, God is always faithful. It may not happen in your lifetime, but He's always faithful. And He has answered her prayer. Psalms chapter 40, 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. Whew. I don't do so good for me sometimes, Lord, you know that. And they'll always pay you. And he reached down to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud. He set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Four questions I'll close with. Since God already knows my needs, why do I have to ask? You ever think about that? Since he already knows, why should I ask? I've said some time ago, I believe that it's part of God's humbling process. You see, we have too much tendency to be proud, proudful. And I think it's God's way of humbling us. God, sometimes people are too proud to what? Ask. Too proud to ask for help. By asking him to provide, we're demonstrating complete dependence on him as our only source of help. How about that? He's our only source of help, and that's how you should look at it. Number two, if the Lord has already predetermined what he's going to do, why should I pray about it? You ever think about that? God knows. He knows the outcome. We don't. We don't know whether he'll heal a sick friend that we've been praying for, but we should continue to intercede until his will becomes clear. I've been there. Did I pray for a friend that I thought would be a different income? Yes, I did. I did have a different prayer for you. But you see, God's in control, I'm not. And I have to be okay with that, as hard as it is. Because I know that God doesn't make mistakes. And sometimes it's a little hard to accept his decision. But it's getting easier because I know he's always right. And he always does everything well. In fact, it could be our prayers that the Lord uses to bring about his predetermined plan. Does the success of God's eternal, and here's the two words that's tricky. Does the success of God's eternal decrees depend on our prayers? That should be a resounding no. What are some examples? I'll give you some. He created the sun, moon, and stars. Do you think any amount of prayers could change anything like that? There's one man that did have a prayer like that. He made the sun go back, do you remember? That was one time. Can you show me another one? Probably not. That's an example. That is option. That's an option. For God's decreed plans is something that God had already decreed from creation, such as the boundaries of the ocean. God said, I have made the boundaries of the ocean. That's where they're at. No amount of your prayers is going to change that. Are you with me? You understand that? There's some things. Oh, that reminds me of a prayer of serenity. God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Actually, that prayer was much longer. This prayer was included in a sermon by Reinhold Niebuhr. In the 30s and 40s, it was best noted by the first three lines that I quoted for you. There are some things that God has set in motion that we can't change. It's just we can't change it. They've been, as I said, eternal decrees. We can't change them. An eternal decree is a course of action that the Lord determined before creation. These are things He will do no matter what. Yet, we are expected to be faithful in prayer. So do our prayers or can our prayers change God's mind? That's my last question. Can our prayers change God's mind? Well, let me give you some biblical examples of some of those that thought they could. How about David? He had a boy. Don't know what his name was, but he had a boy with Bathsheba. The boy had lived for 7 days. And for David, he was already told by Nathan the prophet, "The Lord also hath put away your sin. Thou shalt not die." But the boy, "Howbeit by this deed thou hast given great occasion," not just a little occasion, "thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." When God makes his mind up, you're not going to change it. Now, some have thought they could try, as David did. Nathan departed to his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare to David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house rose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. Came to pass on the 7th day that the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, the child was yet alive. We spake to him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore David said, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is." David rose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord, and I always think about this. He worshiped. Can you imagine how hard it was to worship? But he did. I think about the song Scotty sings, "When everything falls apart, praise his name." He came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him. He did eat. Then said his servant, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." He said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?" There it is. Thought maybe I could change God's mind, that he might be gracious to me. God was gracious to him. He left him live. God was indeed gracious to him. There's another one that I think about all the way in the front of the book. All the way up front, all the way up there to Genesis. There it is. The Lord said, "Behold, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because her sin is grievous. I'll go down and see whether they've done everything according to the cry which comes to me. If not, I will know." The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place of 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sake." Yeah, that's how far. And then down to 10. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 should be found. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left commanding with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. It was just Lot, his wife, children. That was all that was there. That was all he could find. Abraham thought he could change God's mind. When God has made his mind up, it's done. No, sometimes you might make an attempt to do so, but the answer is still no. In Exodus, there's another place. They say the Lord changed his mind after Moses interceded for Israel, but actually God moved Moses to plead for mercy because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which would be fulfilled in Israel. So God's character, his promises, and his purposes can never be changed. All right, worship team come. Our anointing service is...